Okay, Revelation chapter 21. Let's read verse 4. I really am, and I know I say it over and over, and y'all don't believe it because it don't seem to ever happen, but I really am trying to shorten it up a little bit. I understand, you know, how it is to sit in a pew for an hour listening to somebody, but it seems like there's just always more to say than I can say. But when I'm studying and preparing, I think, now that's enough, that's enough. Don't even try to touch that. Just stay right here. But I do try. Pray for me so we can. All right. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I don't know of any more wonderful verse in the Bible, really. You just take that verse and read it, and that ought to make anybody want to be saved. Just the promise of all that stuff. Now, I was thinking about this. You know, we, in our thinking of heaven, and maybe it's kind of wrong, maybe we get out of balance about it this way, but we rejoice in heaven more about the things that won't be there than the things that will be there. Now, we do rejoice about some of the things that will be there, especially loved ones that were saved and people that we've known here that were dear to us, that we knew the Lord. And, of course, Jesus. And being in the presence of God, that's the most wonderful thing about it. But life is full of this stuff here. This is what it's made of. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Jesus came and lived on this earth for 33 years, and he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You know, some of the songs call this the veil of sorrow. The world, that's what it is. It's, you know, I hate to paint such a bleak picture, but if you haven't found it out, you will eventually. I mean, life's just that way. And so we want to say a few things about this, and then we'll go home after a while. Now, let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the special that was just sang. And the promise that we've been reminded of, that you're coming. You're coming for us. To receive us unto yourself, that where you are, we may be also. Thank you, Lord, for that blessed hope. And Lord, it gets us through. Every time we go through a sorrowful thing here, pain, we look beyond it, and we always look to that hope, that place. The time when everything's going to be changed and all these things are going to be passed away. And it gives us hope, helps us, Lord, to get up and go on a little farther. Please bless your word to our heart this morning. Help us to understand what we can understand. It's beyond us. This is as far beyond our comprehension as the stars in the heavens. But help us, Lord, to get a little glimpse of it. You put it in your word so we could. You give us these handfuls of purpose, these little drops that we can taste of and we can get a little foretaste of. Please help us, Lord, this morning to avail ourselves of this great blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we can't even begin to imagine what it'll be like when this great change of all things takes place. You know, we talked last week about that there's coming a time, there's a point out there in front of us when everything is going to be changed, the order of everything. And when that happens, we can't begin to imagine what it's going to be like. We really can't. We can talk about it and we can rejoice in what little bit we know, but as for now, as it is written, I have not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, God is saying you can't imagine. In your wildest imagination, you can't get a hold of what it's going to be like. No, you can't. You just can't. We're so enwrapped in this world, in this life, and we can't even comprehend life differently than what it is here. We just can't. I noticed that in the world, even in their way of thinking, you know. The world believes there's aliens on other planets and all of that stuff now, and about everybody's swallowed that garbage. But ain't it funny to me? It's funny to me that they can't even imagine life out there being any different than it is here. All the aliens have two legs, two arms, two ears, two eyes, mouth, and a nose, and they're all just like us. They can't imagine anything any different. And that's how narrow-minded man is. That's how limited and finite our mind and our imagination really is. Yes, sir. We're really in a box and we don't even know it. We're really closed in on and we're blind and we can't even realize that we're blind. We think we know it all and we don't know a smidgen of a fraction of anything about God, about the universe. And we're just getting little bits and pieces here. That's all we got to go on, really. You'll see that's true if you ever see this heaven that we're talking about. All we can do now is look through a glass darkly and see in part. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Now I know in part. That's it. I only know part. And that's the very best that I'm going to know. And you too. People write books about going to heaven. I don't believe none of those. And shame on you if you do. People don't go to heaven and come back and write about it. They don't. They do not. They do not. It's the, you know, that is of the evil one. That's not of God. God's given us a glimpse into heaven itself right here. And this don't agree with what they're saying. Did you ever notice that? This says sinners don't enter there, but they're a sinner and they entered there. They ain't got no use for God. It's just a big white light and just bliss and happiness. And that's what the devil's promised all of their life. Yeah. I don't believe none of that stuff, but I do believe this. I do believe this. They'll give you a lot more details and they'll show you signs and wonders with it too. You know, I've seen people get fascinated and just totally blown away by these. One was a little bitty kid that went and seen Jesus, and, you know, they didn't know anything. And later in life, she told them all, or he, whatever it was, and all these. Hey, don't be blown away. The false prophets, the Antichrist, is going to come in the end, and he's going to show great signs and wonders. That if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Don't be awed by that stuff. Open your Bible and be awed at what God revealed to us in His Word. It is truth. That stuff is not truth. Not truth. Not truth. This is the truth. Amen. I don't believe none of that stuff. I get enough of a thrill reading right here what God says about heaven. And that one little verse that we just read is enough to do me. It's enough to do me. Yes, sir. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Tears, and death, and sorrow, and crying, and pain are such a major and universal part of what makes up this earthly life that we cannot begin to imagine life without these things. You and I cannot imagine being alive without sorrow, without pain, without grief, and without tears, and without death. We can't even imagine what life could be like. And words are not sufficient. It's what I'm saying to you. You're hearing me, but you're not hearing me. You're not thinking what I'm thinking. What I'm trying to get you to think and to look at. Look off into this big chasm that you can't even see across. Just take a look. It's bigger than what you think. This idea that there's a life beyond this without these things, it's more than we can think, than we can comprehend. Just can't comprehend it. We talk about the vastness of the universe, and we were talking the other day about some of the things I've read in the past about how, you know, if a rim of a drinking glass was the size of our solar system, the Milky Way galaxy that we're in would be the size of North America in comparison. And then our galaxy is just nothing compared to the millions and billions more galaxies that are out there. Spread off. See, your mind just went error, E-R-R-R-R. You can't think about it because it's, you can't even get your mind to process it. It's too much. It's so far beyond what we are, what we can think. And it's that way with this. That's the way it is with this. Life without pain. We've never experienced it. Never experienced it. All we've experienced without pain is maybe moments. Yeah. There's pain of some kind. Just take, like, for instance, has Dorothy cried today? Or already, 2 years old, she cried today. And it's just 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning. Well, wonder why she did that. Well, something was not pleasant. Something hurt. Here, you know, in your body. Life's full of pain. Sometimes it's self-inflicted pain. Sometimes it's in pain inflicted by somebody else. A lot of times it is. But it's full of pain. And that's what life's made up of. In the first place, tears are what happens when our feelings cannot be expressed with words or anything else. That's how it is. It's an overflow of emotion. It's beyond what we can express any other way. It's when we can't express it. It goes beyond, you know, I hurt, or I'm happy. Tears. This is what happens. It's an overflow of emotion. It's an overflow and an overload of our emotions. Our soul, which is infinite in its capacity for happiness or sorrow, is trapped in a body that is finite. And you're having to work with a mind that is finite. You got a soul that's infinite. No limits. No maximums. But you're working through a body and a mind and in a world that is temporary and not eternal. The boundaries are fixed and we're bound up in a box that we can't get out of. Time and space, and there's limits to the ability of our mind to comprehend. We've already seen that, haven't we? And so tears are what happens. See, when this great change happens, our soul is going to be freed. The limits are going to be removed. You know, those bumpers that we bump up against here won't be there anymore. So, the infinity of happiness and joy we'll experience without tears. I mean, tears are like the block. I mean, that's where you just hit the bumper. That's it. Can't go past that. But in eternity, it's going to be different than that. Now, see what I just said there? You can't get it. We just really can't get it. It's an idea to think about, and it's something to ponder, but from where we're sitting right now, we just cannot comprehend it fully. We're just saying, wow, wow. We're unable to feel things to the full here, so we shed tears. And this is why we shed tears with joy and gratitude. When joy and gratitude overwhelm us, that's why we shed tears. See, it's just, you cry when you're happy and you cry when you're sad. You cry when you feel extremely blessed and well, and you cry when you feel overwhelmed with pain and sorrow and grief. However, in this world, there's little doubt that tears are shed mostly and more for sorrow than for joy. Now, isn't that right? There's more tears shed in this world for sorrow, because of sorrow and pain, than there are for joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. Well, sure there are. In the eternal state, all the sources of tears are going to be removed except for joy. And we'll be able to experience to the full joy unspeakable and full of glory without shedding tears. You're going to wipe away the tears. Tears have an effect on us here, don't they? They really do. I mean, that just kind of shuts everything down. I mean, if somebody is really weeping, that just kind of puts the brakes on the sorrow end of it, you know, and the for everybody else. I mean, it makes everybody sympathize. It makes you empathize with them more when that happens. Because, you know, if they're angry, you keep shoving them back. But somebody that's weeping, you just can't hardly do that, can you? It's something that makes you just want to comfort them somehow. It squelches your anger at them, your bad feelings toward them. And instead, you have pity. Yeah. Unless you are somebody without a soul, almost. Yeah. Well, no matter how optimistic we may be, life here on earth is dominated by death and sorrow and crying and pain. Those things that someday are going to be passed away. These are the former things. In the future, we're going to call these the former things. God says they're going to be passed away. The former things. They're temporary, you see. For now, there's sorrow and death, but they're temporary. For now, there's crying and pain, but they're temporary. That's enough to cheer you up, buddy, right there. I'm telling you, pain is temporary. We hear about people like we did a while ago who maybe don't have long to live. And we've known a lot of people, I have, through the years, who before they died, they suffered a lot of pain. But it's temporary. No matter how long it lasts in this life, it's temporary. There is an end to it. Now that's good. That's a good thing that we can know that here, that it's temporary. Because in eternity, nothing's going to be temporary anymore. Everything's going to be eternal, everlasting, no end to it. So I'm sure glad these things are not going to be there. They're here. But we know there's an end to them. And we know that there they will not exist. We don't live a day without encountering these things. Not a day of our life. What does a baby do the first minute it's born? If everything's normal and it's conscious, what does a baby do? Cry. No more crying. Why do you think that baby cries? You reckon it feels real good to that baby? His first seconds here in this world? No, it doesn't. It's very uncomfortable. It's a shock. It's painful. It's not pleasant at all. His first breaths, his first thing that he voices in this world is sorrow. We all rejoice, but he's sorrowing. First thing out of the gate. Crying. Babies cry because things are not good. There's pain. There's sorrow. There's something. Do you just cry because just at random? Just, you know? Do you? No, you don't. You don't do that unless something's wrong. You don't cry out. You don't weep unless something's wrong. So that's the way life is. We don't live a day without encountering these things. From the day we're born to the day we die. That's right. Y'all ever think about that? Say, man, you just downer. You're just painting such a downer, downer picture. I mean, because you want heaven here, I guess, huh? You want to believe that this world is a wonderful place and you don't want to leave it. That's the way most people feel. People that have no hope and no God in this world, that's the way they got to make the best of this they can. The only things you got to be happy about in this life and in this world is that there's a God in heaven who sent his son to die for you, that you can be redeemed from your life of destruction and end up in a better place someday. Yes, sir. No more death. Let's talk about that a minute. Ain't never going to be any graves dug in heaven. No cemeteries. No funerals are going to be held. They've about given up on that here, too. They just die and they bury them or burn them up in a crematorium, put them in a jar, or just throw it out somewhere, I guess, what they do to a lot of them. Because ain't nobody that cares and ain't nobody that even wants to fool with having a memorial or anything. I watch the obituaries and I see it and it's more and more and more. And I want you to know it didn't used to be that way. We went by a place here a while back. I took Elizabeth out to pick up something she bought or something. And I remember going out there before, years ago. I told her, I said, I remember coming out here somewhere. There's a cemetery out here. Because we came out here, the funeral home called and said, we got to bury this guy. And said, there ain't nobody. He ain't got no family. He ain't got no friends. Nobody claims him. We just got to bury him. And he said, would you come out? And so Brother Parker called me, wanted to know if I'd go with him. So me and him went to that funeral. And it was me and him and the funeral directors and buried that guy, and that was it. But he did get buried. And somebody did say a prayer and a few words to at least acknowledge his life and his existence here on earth. They're not even doing that now. Lots of people. They don't even, no service is planned. I see it a lot, a lot. That's terrible, ain't it? Ain't going to be none of that there. No graves, no funerals, no, but it ain't going to be for that reason. The reason it's not going to be because ain't going to be nobody die. Ain't going to be no need for it. If you really knew what I was saying right now, you'd jump up and shout and say, glory to God, thank God. You'd be weeping your eyes out because of joy because of the promise of God that is so. If somebody in here would die this week, you'd be weeping then. Because death's sting. Death's victory, yeah, that it has right now. It hurts us. It grieves us. We'd shed tears. We'd cry. We'd weep. And we'd grieve. But the promise that's never going to be anymore. We don't get too excited about it. And it's like pie in the sky by and by. Yeah. No funeral, nobody will ever suffer the loss of a loved one ever again. When you're young, you don't think about that too much. I know. That's the way it is. You just don't think about it because you haven't experienced it. But let me tell you how it's going to be. As life goes along, they just start disappearing. They just start going away one by one. And at some point, you start taking account, and you think, wish they were here. Wish I could see them. Wish I could hear their voice. And see, I'm telling you this, and we know it for an absolute certainty that every person in this room either has or you are going to suffer this. And you're going to experience this. You're going to go to the cemetery and bury your loved ones. We're going to bury one another. If the Lord don't come back, we're all going to, you know, we got that in front of us. And so to think about the fact that after Jesus comes and after this thing is all changed by God, there ain't going to be no more of that. I mean, let that soak in for a minute. You're going to be there forever with the ones you love, and they're never going to be separated from you. Never. You don't have to worry about it. There's no fear of it, no dread of it, no doubt about it. Ain't going nowhere. Never going to lose them. Never going to lose them. Here we're going to lose them. We're going to lose them here. There we're not. That's one of the things of earth that causes the pain and the grief and the sorrow and the crying. And it's going to be gone from that place. Here we live with the certainty of death before us every day of our life. There we will have the certainty that we will never, ever die. No one will. Here we live with the certainty that all of our loved ones and everyone we know will surely die one day. And we don't know when. We don't know, any of us, if we're going to get home from this church service today. We don't know. Every time I drive up and down this road, I meet people on the wrong side of the road and they're swerving around and they're doing everything. And you never know when that one's going to come across and pow, that's it for you. Happens every day. Happens every day. To hundreds of people every day. And somehow we think it ain't going to be me. And that's what happens to other people, not me. Somehow I'm going to live forever. The Jehovah's Witnesses think they're going to live forever on this world. Well, they think this world's going to abide forever, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. But they don't think they're going to live here. And they're out beating on doors and trying to convert everybody. They really do. And they think only 144,000 is ever going to make it. And they're going to live on this world. And man, you ought to try to be one of them. No, I got a better hope than that because I'm reading the Bible right here. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15. It's talking about Jesus. He came and to deliver them through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Through fear of death. Jesus came to take away that fear of death that we were in bondage. See, if you're saved this morning, you've got a blessed hope. You've got a hope in the promises that God has given us here about what eternity is going to be like for you if you're saved. There we'll have the certainty that no one will ever leave us and no one will ever cease to be. Here we view death daily and even many times during the day. We were coming to church a while ago and two little doves were in the road and we got closer and closer and they kept fooling around. She said, fly, fly. Well, they flew. And one of them flew up and just, I don't think we got it. But it couldn't have been any closer, you know. Got down the road a little farther, and here lays a little baby deer in the road, all smashed to pieces, dead. Just born recently, you know. It don't matter where you go, you see death everywhere. Death, death everywhere. There we'll never see death in any way or form. Nothing dies there. Nothing. Here it grieves us, because even like the dove, it's just a bird. But Jesus said that not even a sparrow falls without his notice. And it does. It's not a pleasant thing. We drive by and say, oh, you know, poor creature. Just got run over on the road, something. You know, we don't like death. It's a sad, it's a grieving thing, no matter what it is. If you got any kind of a soul that's right at all, you hate death. There we'll never see death in any way, any form. Nothing dies there because there's no death there. It's been abolished by Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can have any relief from sorrow here is to simply not think about death that we know is certain for us. And for all those around us, we can just not think about it. We can just stay busy reading cartoons and watching TV and telling jokes and keeping busy, keeping our mind off of it. We can just keep planning for next month and next year and pretend that we're going to live forever. We can do that. But it makes us look like a fool because we are a fool if we never consider the fact that we're going to die. And that we could die any time. We're so fragile. You're just a bag of blood and water and nerves and blood vessels that are as thin as tissue paper. And one little bump, one little calamity in amongst that, one little thing go wrong and you're gone. Your life is done. Just like that. And then to pretend that we're, you know, it's amazing to me they worry that we're going to get hit by an asteroid. They're worried that we're going to smother ourselves with carbon gases and emissions. And, you know, they worry about stupid stuff. And they don't worry about the reality of the how fragile their life is individually. Think they're each one going to live forever and they're invincible and they're strong and they can take. But they're worried about the earth. Oh my. I'm worried about what pitiful little man's doing to the earth. Mercy. The only way we can have any kind of relief is just pretend it doesn't happen. But reality is always at the door of our minds and thoughts, and so it's brought back to us daily, right in front of us. And in the eternal state, we'll never even think of it anymore. That's wonderful. Won't even think about death. It's going to be passed away. It's not even going to be a thing there. It's not going to be a part of life, part of the existence, not even a part of the whole order of things there. No death. No death. In the eternal state, we'll never even think of it. In the future, and in the eternal state, the future, the way we look at the future. Now, how do you look at the future right now? You're looking through a glass darkly, and that glass is this world and your life and your future in this world. You can't get out of that. You can't get past that. You're thinking about what I'm going to do as I get older and as the kids grow up, and what am I going to do in my life? You're looking through all that, you see. And you don't know what's going to happen here in this world. It's unpredictable. We don't even know what's going to happen to our country, to our government. We don't know what's going to happen to our own life. We don't know what's going to happen to our health and our strength and our life and our family around us. Everything can change at any time. Everything's just up for grabs here. And so it's uncertain. The future's uncertain. But there it's not going to be like that. The future is not going to have that uncertainty about it. That question mark about everything behind every word. It's not going to be like that. The future is just going to be bright, bright, bright. When you're a child and when you're young and you look into the future here in this world, that's kind of how it is. You don't see anything bad. You don't imagine that anything's going to happen to you other than your dreams are all going to come true and life's just going to be wonderful and full of fun and happiness and pleasure. Right? You're too smart for that bad stuff to happen to you. I mean, you're going to outfox everything, the devil included, and you're not going to be caught in anything. Nothing's going to befall you, but it will, just like everybody else that's ever walked on the face of this earth. It will. But there, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be, the future is going to be bright, bright, bright. No doubts. No uncertainty, no questions, just bliss and joy and no sorrow and no tears and no pain and no death forever. No more sorrow or crying. Let me hurry. Now, sorrow is the pain of the heart and mind. That's what sorrow is. Sorrow is pain, but it's pain of the heart and mind, not of the body. You hit your thumb with a hammer, that's pain. But it's of the body. Your soul, your heart gets broken, that's pain of the heart and mind. The grief of things that happen here on earth. Sorrow is the pain that we feel when we suffer loss or expect to suffer loss. That's what sorrow is. Since life is a continual suffering of loss, life is a continual sorrow here. That's why Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's the way life is here. We're like a plant. We're like the flower, the grass of the field, and the flower of the grass. It We grow and we blossom and then we fade away. That's the way life is. I mean, the Bible makes that clear, that that's how life is here. There's a birth and a springing up and a blossom and then fade away. Right back to the ground. That's the way life is. We feel this pain as we watch our children even grow up. Makes you sad to see your kids grow up, don't it? But didn't you know they were going to grow up when they were born? Isn't that what's supposed to happen? Then why are we sad? Why is it sorrowful to us? Because we're losing as we go along. We fail to see that we're gaining also, but we're losing. It's like I've told y'all. When the kids grow up, and before they, when they start looking toward getting married and leaving home and all that, you think, no, no, no. No, I can't stand that, no. Well, you better brace yourself, because it's going to happen. And here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to find out if they'll walk in the truth, and if they'll be honorable people, and if they will bless your name, then you're going to find that sorrow replaced with a joy. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy than that. The joy you had when they were little and cute and sweet like this one, it's replaced with a deeper, bigger joy. Yeah. But we sorrow anyway. Yeah, we do. Because we think we're losing something. We feel this pain as we watch one another grow old, don't we? I do. I mean, you're young, you don't understand what I'm saying. I know you don't, but you will someday. But when I get out and see people that, I grew up with and they're old and gray, this guy's out here getting, brought the gas the other day, he grew up here in town and everything. And I knew his brothers and sisters that was older than him and all, but he's gray and old and I'm gray and old. And I told him, it's funny when you get to be the old person. But I look at him and his family and others. Every time I run into somebody that I went to school with or something, I just think, wow, life sure is rough on us. Yeah, sure is. You watch people and you knew them when they were young and you see them all withered down. And you see the loss of life here. You see what it does here. It's so upside down here because of sin. And God's going to make all things new. The next verse tells us here. Behold, I make all things new. New. All things new. And it's not going to be that way. Death's not going to be at work. And pain's not going to be there. And sorrow and crying and all of that ain't going to be there. We're not going to grow old. We're not going to get weaker and weaker. We're going to get stronger and stronger. We feel this pain when we see the physical pain and sorrow and suffering of others. We sorrow. You look at what's going on in the world, the wars and the famines and the violence and the cruelty that's going on in this world. It makes you sorrow, don't it? What do you feel when you see, like that picture of that little withered black hand reaching up for a piece of bread or whatever it was? Remember? What does that make you feel? It ain't joy. No, it makes you feel sorrow. As you look around this world, that's what you're going to feel more than anything. I do. I mean, you say, well, there's something wrong with you. I don't think so. I think this is an evil, cruel, wicked, dark, sinful world. And everywhere I look, all I see is things that make me feel sorrow. Sorrow. Pain. It pains me. It pains my soul. It pains my heart. It pains my mind to think about it. What all is going on. And the suffering and the cruelty and the pain that other people are experiencing and that they're going to experience because of what they're doing. And so I don't look at the world and say, We're just a wonderful place. Let's all hold hands and sing Jambalaya or whatever, you know. Kumbalaya or whatever. They'd sing Jambalaya and be happy. We were watching a thing the other day, and I told her, and it amazes me. I watch these things sometimes, and I think about it, and I watch people, and I try to figure it out, you know, what is the deal here? But people are just put together. We're put together in such a way by God that we got this thing in us about worshiping. And the world does it. They do it all the time. Now they're doing it in the churches just exactly like the world does it at ball games and concerts and stuff. But they're doing it in churches and it's the same thing. They're not worshiping Jesus and truth. They're just experiencing this communal happiness and joy and rejoicing. You know, the world, somebody will write a little jingle and they call it a song. But it's just a little jingle, and they just sing the same thing over and over and over about 15 times, and that's a song. It's a hit song, man. And everybody goes around singing. And they don't even know what the words mean. The words are some mystical, you know, bunch of jumbled up words like, what does that mean? And they just sang it, and oh, they just enjoy it, and they're just having a big time together. You ever see anything like that? You know what they're doing? They're trying to forget their sorrow. Yeah, they're trying to find something in this world to have pleasure in. But it's vanity. All right. We feel this pain when we see things come to an end. And boy, I thought about so many things when I wrote that down and thought about that this morning. I thought, my, there's so many things there. We don't like to see things come to an end. That's why we don't like to see the kids grow up, because we see this thing, life as we know it now. That's going to change. It's coming to an end here. We don't like that. We don't like to see a church close up. We don't like to see a government come to an end. We don't like to see a life come to an end. We don't like to see a business close that's been there for years and years. We don't like none of that stuff. When something comes to an end, that's what nostalgia really is. It's sorrow. It is sorrow, ain't it? Yep. Nostalgia. We try to put a positive color to it, but it's really sorrow. We're grieving over things that are lost forever. They're gone forever, changed forever. It grieves me that the world has changed, and there's things that what I knew in the world, they're gone forever. The way life was, the way we did things, the attitudes and the atmosphere of the world, it's changed. And it's gone, and it grieves me. Sorrow is the pain we feel when we see what sin has wrought in our own life and in the lives of others. You can call it whatever you want. Regret is a good word for it. But that's sorrow. Regret is sorrow. These things are not going to be there. See, that's the point of all this wonderful scripture that we're reading here. These things are not going to be there. It's the pain that we feel when we're the victim of someone else's sin. It's sorrow. We feel that sorrow. It's pain. Pain of heart and mind. Sorrow is the pain we feel of heart and mind. Going to be no pain there. Ain't going to be no sorrow. It's the pain we feel when we have sinned, and even more so when we realize that we're reaping the consequences of our own sin. Crying here is not weeping, but it's an outcry from the pain. That's what that word means there, that he said, no crying. It's not weeping. Crying is not weeping. You hear me? It's crying out. It's a cry, an outcry from the pain. It's what people do when they're overwhelmed with sorrow and pain. There'll never be another cry of anguish or pain in the presence of God and His people in eternity. Never. Not one outcry of anguish or pain. The only loud voices you'll hear are voices of praise and worship. No more pain. No pain of heart, no pain of body, none. Can't imagine that, right? I'm feeling pain right now. And no pain. I just can't imagine. Once in a while, I'll sit around and think, you know, do I remember when I was young and it didn't, nothing hurt? Yeah, I do. I do. But heaven is going to be better than that. Because even though I didn't hurt all the time, there was times I did. Like when I mashed all three fingers in the door one time. Yeah. Did other things too that hurt. Like scoot down the highway underneath a homemade go-kart one time that we forgot to put brakes on before we took off down the hill in it. Dumb. But it hurt. I got the scars to prove it. But no pain. No pain. No pain. No pain of heart. Nothing's ever going to hurt your heart. That's more important to me than no more pain of body. I've never experienced pain in my body that exceeded the pain I've felt in my heart. Yeah. Never have. And I've hurt pretty bad sometimes too. Here life is absolutely full of pain. There's nothing to hurt or destroy or take away or diminish in any way from the happy state of life we'll enjoy there, though. Nothing. Then the world here, the word here for pain, it really means first. Now listen to me, and I'm hurrying. Labor and toil. The word pain right there means labor and toil. Discomfort. Unpleasant feeling. But it means labor and toil. But unpleasant sensations due to injury or loss. You know, we watch these little ones as they experience pain from the beginning of their earthly life. Lucas was stumbling around there yesterday and fell and hit his mouth on the coffee table. You know, of course, you know, didn't suffer any grave injury from it, but it hurt, you know. And it hurts you when you see them hurt. When you see anybody hurt, unless there's something bad wrong with your evil, wicked heart, you hurt when somebody else hurts. There's some people in this world that are so evil and so dark that they get joy out of watching somebody else hurt. Mm-hmm. That's about as wicked as you can get. Yes, sir. Even if you're angry with them. Yep. We hear their cries and see their tears and see their sorrow from the time they're able to breathe the air on this world. If you've ever had children, you understand that. We watch those who are older than us as their life begins the downhill journey toward death. We watch as they suffer more and more pain in their body, but also in their mind and heart. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It goes hand in hand. As your body declines and your health deteriorates and your bones get hurting and everything else gets hurting, so does your heart. If you're one of these that's headed to this place where ain't going to be none of that, especially. You're more grieved about the world around you as you get older. You really are. It pains you more. You find yourself talking about it more. And you find yourself thinking about the fact that I just don't belong here. I don't fit. This is a bad place. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You get to thinking about that more and more. We watch those who are older, and then pain only increases as life progresses here, both pain of body and pain of the heart. Now, you can't argue with that fact, now, can you? That's life. Here. Ain't you glad that we got a promise of a life that's different than that? If eternity was just a continuation of this mess, boy, wouldn't be very bright hope to have. But it's a place where there's no death, No tears, no sorrow, no pain, no crying. That's wonderful. Amen. It's something that we need to think about. That's why I'm preaching on this stuff. A lot of the preaching has to do with our life here in this world and how we live it. And that's important in order to prepare us for this place like this. But every once in a while, and often, we need to try to climb up there and look over the banister and be reminded of what lies ahead and what this is all about and why it's so important to be right with God and to live right and to hate sin and to fight the devil and deny yourself. There's just so much at stake. And we, like yesterday going up here to nurse home, it makes you think about things. And I thought about this, and I talked to somebody. We were talking last night about it. But, people like her that lived a life caring about other people, trying to help other people, just when they get to that point, we talked about the fact that some people are just so consumed in their pain, their selfish pain. They just look at their own little world and it's just, oh, me, me, I'm so bad off and I'm hurting so bad and I wish I could die. A lot of them get in there and all they want to do is just die. And they tell everybody, why can't I just die? I just want to die. But some people, like the one we visited yesterday, do you think she doesn't think that in her mind? Lord, why don't you just let me out of here? Won't you just take me on home? But she doesn't voice that. Why? Because she's still thinking about other people. That wouldn't be an encouragement to somebody else, would it? No, it wouldn't. You live with this blessed hope and you'll die with this blessed hope. That's the way it works, everybody. I'm telling you. Yes, sir. And I'm telling you this, too, that, the closer you get to this reality here, as you get through life and the pain increases and the sorrow increases and you get closer to this, if you really believe and you really are one of the redeemed, this will become a reality that overrides the sorrow in your own heart. And you won't see people get old and sad and miserable and all of that. You'll see the light shine brighter and brighter as that day approaches for them. Man, I've seen it in reality in people. And it's something that's important. When you can see somebody approaching death and they know it, and they're bright and shining and positive and cheerful, there's something in them that's real. I've seen people get the news they got cancer. You remember old Uncle Buddy Robinson? You've heard all them stories about him. The doctor told him he was going to die, and he shouted and jumped for joy. And the doctor couldn't understand. He said, you think I'm going to be sad about going to heaven? And it was real. It was real. It wasn't just fake and put on. And I've seen people just about like that. I can tell you names and names and names of people I've seen, known through the years, known very well, who got news like that. And they died rejoicing, telling other people how good God was. And they better trust Him. And they better get ready to meet Him. I remember Roy the last day. Last day we talked to him, he was all smiles and all happy. And he told us he knew, he knew this was it. But he was just saying goodbye to everybody and doing it in a happy, joyful way, didn't he? Well, now, I'm telling you, that's why this has got to be real to you. You better think on these things more than you think on them. I better think on them more than I think on them. I better get a little more heavenly-minded as I crawl through this world of sorrow and pain. Yeah. Because there'll come a day when I have to make the crossing, and I don't want it to be sad and black and dark. I want it to be a happy occasion. It's a graduation. It's a promotion. It's the final deliverance. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be taken to be with the Lord and to get out of this body is to get out of this pain and sorrow and tears. All right, I just got a thing or two more to say here, and I'm going to quit. Life's full of disappointments, and we suffer pain and sorrow and tears because of that fact. Life's full of injuries from other people, and that increases the pain as we grow older. And work and labor become a great burden as we grow older. It turns into pain. Yes, it does. There we'll be at rest. Not idle, but labor will not be painful anymore. It'll be a joy. I would see, we can't understand that right now. Just can't understand it. But that's the way it's going to be. There we'll be at rest, and we'll have a body that'll never wear out. I was thinking about Brother Earl the other day. I was just thinking about him singing that song. I'm going to have a new body someday. A glorified body that'll never decay. I'll sing and I'll shout and I'll never wear out. Praise God, I'll have a new body someday. Well, before old Brother Earl got out of that old body he was living in, it fell in on him pretty bad. Had a stroke, couldn't communicate much anymore, and couldn't get up, ended up in a nursing home. But he ain't suffering from that now. There we'll never be hurt by anything or anybody. Never by someone else's cruel words or thoughtless words or evil thoughts toward us. Never by any disease or injury or disability. Never. Ain't going to be none of that there. Everybody's going to be whole there. And ain't nobody going to hurt anybody with words or any other way. And see, we can't imagine life like that. We just can't, because it's never been that way here. Never been that way here. From the time we were a child, we've experienced that all through our life. Every one of us have. All right? Won't it be wonderful there? When with the Savior, we enter the glory land. Won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of this story land. Won't it be wonderful there? This is a song. Walking and talking with Christ, the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One. Won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Yeah, it's going to be wonderful there. It's what all of our ancestors sang about and hoped for and lived their life of toil and hardships looking forward to. Used to be preached in the churches, and that's why people came to the church a lot. You need to hear about hell, and you need to hear about eternity and what it's going to be without God. But we need to hear about heaven, too. We need to hear about the fact that it's, you know, everybody gives Christians such a bad name here. But it ain't going to be that way there. Ain't going to be no more reproach there. Read two verses, Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the and his servants shall serve him. No more curse. Revelation 22 and verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, and in red letters, this is Jesus talking, surely I come quickly. Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The sooner the better is the way I look at it. If he'd come today, it wouldn't be too soon for me. I love people here. I love the beauty God's created. You know, I love life. But this is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I like to think about it. I like to think about heaven. And it's real. It's real. And it's not far away. And it's not long away either. Eternity's about to happen. Yes, it is. And we better be ready. We better be ready. Are you sure your name is written in this place? I mean, it's decided here whether you're going to be there or not in eternity. Don't forget that everyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They're not here. And what is there going to be in eternity for those without God? Continue. It's the second death. There's going to be tears. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be crying. And there's going to be pain. Don't want that, do you? Rich man in hell, lifted up his eyes, being in torments, thirsting, crying out. Remember? Don't be that one. Run up your little white flag of surrender and quit defending yourself. Quit standing for your own rights, like we talked about Wednesday night, freed from sin. The sin is your demanding your right to yourself. Give it up. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Give your life to Him. Surrender. Quit living for yourself. Live for God, and this is what you got to look forward to. Live for yourself, and the other is what you got to look to. Eternal sorrow and torment and pain and sorrow. I don't want that. I've had enough of it here. Amen. Done with it. I'm glad there's an end to it for me. I hope there's an end to it for you this morning. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer.